Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. Quote, the world seems like it's spinning at a faster pace these days, and we are constantly inundated with sensory information, unquote. This is from the wonderful book Sensory Parenting by Britt Collins, MSOTR/L, and Jackie Linder Olson. Britt Collins, MSOTR/L, graduated from California State University with a master's in occupational therapy and has been practicing in a variety of settings, including sensory integration clinics, schools, homes, rehabilitation facilities, and skilled nursing facilities. Jackie Linder Olson is a producer and writer whose son has sensory integration disorder. Jackie and Britt created an occupational therapy DVD series for parents, caregivers, and educators to teach the basics of occupational therapy and how it could be implemented in their child's daily lives. Their DVDs include OT in the home, OT in the school, OT for children with autism special needs and typical, and yoga for children with special needs. The duo co-founded Special Needs United with the goal of introducing occupational therapy to children, to families of children with special needs. Britt and Jackie, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Thank you for having us.
So glad to have you both on the show. You know, I actually teach yoga to a group of 8 to 12-year-old boys with Asperger's syndrome, so I'd love to see your video and get some ideas. In your wonderful book, Sensory Parenting, you write, quote, sometimes a tantrum isn't just about the cookie he wants. It could be that the sun is in his eye, the noise of the outdoor concert has deregulated his auditory processing. And if you could talk about the senses in general and then about sensory integration and regulation.
Definitely. So a lot of us know a lot about our 5 senses, taste, touch, sight, sound, smell. But we also have 2 other major sensory systems, the vestibular system and the proprioceptive system, that isn't as widely known, but they're both 2 very important systems. And all of our sensory systems work together. So if one thing might be off, then usually there are multiple systems that are kind of out of sync. So when you're talking about the vestibular system, you're talking about the fluid in the inner ears that help govern your balance, where your head is in space. The proprioceptive system is all about the muscles and joints and the input to those, and it kind of is telling you about your body awareness as well. And so when you're talking about a kiddo who might have kind of a sensory overload in a grocery store, it could be the lights are too bright or there's a lot of sounds going on, and not only are they maybe wanting something off the shelf that the mom is not giving them, but they're already overloaded by all the sights and smells and sounds in the grocery store, and then that kind of throws them into a tantrum. So that's kind of what we're referring to, is that just a strictly behavior tantrum? Is that kiddo, you know, regulating himself just fine, but he really wants those cookies, or is that kid actually overloaded and, you know, all the sounds are so overloading to him that, you know, he wants to kind of cover his ears and burrow down, and then that kind of what sends him into a tantrum.
Yeah, you know, and I think what's so important is just, you know, to really pay attention to what your baby's doing. I mean, my daughter used to cry when she was a baby if it was windy outside. I was like, why is she crying? Like, I couldn't figure out. And then we would go to the grocery store, and what would happen with her is the sensory stimulation built up, so then she'd be up all night. We're like, why is she up all night? So we kind of started putting two and two. Oh, there's a loud sound. Why is she covering her ears? And then when she got older, she could say, I don't like that sound. I'm going to go in the other room. And that's why your book is so wonderful, because all the things that I had to figure out, you tell us about, like, you know, baby-proofing the nursery and paying attention to the living room and how clutter is a problem, which my husband was thrilled to hear because I need to work on that. You can tell us some other things, too, to not only to look out for in the baby and your toddler, but also just around the house that will help as well.
Well, as we mentioned in the book, you know, you really want to declutter. It's all about actually simplicity, because too much color, too much sound, too many bright toys that are just, you know, glowing and turning in circles and making a lot of noises can be overwhelming to any child.
Yes.
Not even a child that you might think has some sensory overload, but every baby needs to have just things slowly introduced. It's really great to keep your house just, you know, not too quiet, because you want them to get used to certain noises, but you don't want to overstimulate them, especially when you bring in a newborn home, because they are very sensitive. They've been in a warm, wonderful, quiet, muted place for 9 months, and now all of a sudden they're in this bright, loud, fast world that we live in. And I think that it's really important for parents, all parents.
Now, Jackie, did you write this about the mom tip? All the baby books I've read and all the pediatricians I've spoken with confirm that babies sleep for most of the first year of life, and that was not true in my case.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, I read that, and I looked at my husband, and I said, I wrote that. It was so funny. He called a pediatrician when my daughter was a few weeks old and asked about sleep, and he immediately assumed, oh, yeah, let's find babies sleep all the time. He's like, no, she'll sleep like 7 hours in a 24-hour period. He's like, what? And I knew right away there was something wrong. Tell us about your son and his sleep that first year.
My son's very similar. He didn't sleep at all the first 2 days, and so we were so confused. And then when we took him home, he really, really would never go to sleep until he would literally pass out. And then
yes,
he'd take an hour, and then he'd be up again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was wild. So I was so confused, and, you know, my doctor kept saying, oh, he's fine, he's fine. He'll sleep when he's tired. And I'm like, this baby is never tired. It's really difficult that first year.
It is so difficult. We went through 4 pediatricians, and I think for people listening, you have to listen to your intuition. You have to listen to your gut. I knew something was wrong, and I wasn't going to let a pediatrician.
I agree. In the book, I don't know if you got to the autism section, but we kind of consider our pediatricians that don't work out kind of like old boyfriends. You know, you just got to listen in the and move on to the ones that are going to help you and your family because, you know, we're all so different.
If you can touch on some of the milestones that you want to look out for and maybe some things where you get a red flag of like, what's going on here?
Well, it kind of depends on what section you're talking about, but we definitely lay out like 0 to 6 months,
yes,
6 months to a year, and so forth. And those sections in the book are really important because you do want to be able to see that, you know, is your child starting to look at you and engage with the parent when they're first, you know, in those first couple of months? Are they starting to reach out and grasp toys? And then as they get more into that 4 to 6 months, are they starting to try to sit up? Are they trying to, starting to look at rolling over? We also talk about the importance of tummy time and how important that is for development, for visual systems, for the trunk strengthening, for all of those things. And then, you know, really if you're worried that your child is not making those milestones of sitting up, rolling over, crawling, they're maybe not sleeping themselves, not sleeping, or they're having even problems with, like, eating, they're not progressing to rice cereal, you know, around the 4 to 6 month age, or they're not progressing to the baby food, so they're not tolerating textures, you know, definitely talk to your pediatrician, ask a bunch of questions, and, you know, really seek out maybe an evaluation if you feel like that your child is not meeting their motor milestones or their sensory milestones like they should be.
Okay. Yeah, you know, speaking of food, one of the things that I loved reading was about, I'm a big lactivist, and I agree with you. You know, you wrote about that women, you know, have a choice and you respect their choice, whether it's breastfeeding or formula. But I admit up front that I am a lactivist. You wrote that, you know, the babies who breastfeed, that their sensory systems get more regulated. And I said to my husband, could you imagine if I hadn't nursed her? And she nursed till she was 3 because it was one of the few things that really calmed her down. And I do believe in, you know, child-led weaning and all that. But at any rate, it was just, I read that, I thought, oh, my goodness. But, you know, again, of course, obviously whatever works best. And especially if your baby's having some issues with their mouth, I mean, it might be easier for them to use a bottle. And whether it's breast milk or formula, that might be, you know, an easier way to go. So I think it's important to keep an open mind. But, again, your book is so wonderful because there's so many things that I had to learn on my own. And just knowing about these issues like the wind, like cold, like hot, you know, the bright lights, the loud sounds. What is your advice on how parents should handle it in terms of holidays? Like my tactic was to avoid. And I look back and I think, you know, it probably wasn't the best because I didn't want her to be up all night unhappy. Right? You know, I mean, what do you think about things like that as a child,
right,
you know, moves into toddler years or even babies?
Well, I think that it can depend. You know, a lot of cultures are very active with their family or maybe their church, and there's a lot of, you know, big parties around the holidays, Christmas, Thanksgiving, you know, birthdays, that kind of thing. And you're right, that can be very overwhelming for your child. And I think that you need to do what's best for you and your kiddo, because if you know that throwing their schedule off is going to send them into a 3-day frenzy of not sleeping, and then you're not sleeping and nobody's functioning, it's almost not worth it. It's
That's
worth it doing, you know what, let's do a small Thanksgiving, or just a small birthday, you know, and you have to also educate your family because they don't always understand, you know, my child has a food allergy, no sleep, or my child, you know, really is sensitive to sound, please don't bring any sort of noise-making toy. You know, we'd rather do books or puzzles or something like that. So it's really important to educate your family and be your best advocate for your child because they cannot speak for themselves.
Yeah, I totally agree. Now, Jackie, is that something that you've, did you find that problematic? I mean, I definitely that had some issues with that in my family that we've overcome, but it was tough.
I absolutely fall in the same category as you, as where we became avoiders because,
yes,
like you said, it was so difficult. And, you know, my son has a lot of social anxiety, even in the families, and birthday parties are an absolute nightmare. So, you know, we still ease into these situations still, and he's 8 years old at this point. So we pick and choose, and well, you know, if there's hopefully a couple of days afterwards where I know he doesn't have school and he can maybe relax at home. So we try to ease him into those situations and then give him a little time afterwards to recuperate and regulate.
Yeah, it's really true. You know, my daughter's 6 now, and she's going to the Montessori school in the fall, and she's doing a lot better the last, like, year or so. And it's, like, really some big changes have happened, mm-hmm. which were great. But, for example, you know, a regular or neurotypical kid, they'll go to school for 3 hours in the morning, come home, maybe they'll have some quiet time, and then they'll go to another activity. For her, that's it. Like, quiet time, just hanging out the rest of the day. Like, and I think that's something that's hard to explain to people, too. You know,
my son still's in that same category. Yes, he's going into third grade, and, you know, everyone has such busy schedules, and it's just too overwhelming for him. So we really, you know, he does Boy Scouts. Like, we're easing him into, you know, one activity a week, and that's more than enough for him. So
yeah, I think that's really
lots
great.
Lots of home time, lots.
Yeah, you need that. And it's nice to join. I think the online support groups are so helpful because you can feel very isolated and very alone. And I think that's what's so great about your book, too, is that there's a resource. And it's validating to say these are real issues. If your baby's crying because of, you know, they're overstimulated, they're not being a brat. I mean, I don't mean to be so blunt, but some people, they just don't get it. And I think this really helps. And it's different from other parenting books out there. And I think that's important as well. And how did you gals come together to create this book and your DVDs? Britt, if you want to tell us.
Yeah, well, I started working with Odin actually when he was about a little over two. And he had just recently gotten a diagnosis of autism. And I was finishing up my master's in occupational therapy. And Jackie and I, you know, I just really started helping them with him. And then with her background in production and film, you know, we really decided to come up with this idea of putting together kind of an OTV DVD, and then we made this DVD, and all of a sudden everybody was like, oh, this is really great, let's make more, and then we made 3 more of those, and then it kind of was just easy to kind of get into this book, because all of a sudden we were thinking, we want to get to the, you know, the typical population and really stress these new moms and really write a baby book about the sensory systems and about development and really be able to touch kind of this population as well, even though the OT DVDs are also, you know, their own niche in their own way. But I think just with kind of my background in OT and Jackie being a mom, but also working in film production, it just really kind of all fell into place. And then Jackie's also a great writer. And so then together we were able to kind of produce all this, with just, again, with a sense of humor and really trying to relate to parents and not be so medical-based.
Yes, it's a wonderful book. I just want to thank you both so much. I'm so glad you met and you are able to provide such a wonderful book to moms and dads, you know, who need, and I think for relatives, I think it needs to be given to the extended family, give it to friends. You know, if you're finding that your child has these issues and they need more support and validation, I think it's really incredibly helpful. So I want to thank you both so much. And how can people learn more about you?
We have a website together. It's sensoryparenting.com. And we also have a website for the DVDs, which is trpwellness.com.
People want to reach me. They can go to itsyourhealthradio.org. I hope everyone has a great day. Check out Sensory Parenting. It really is such a great book. Take care. Bye-bye.